Hi, I'm Jason Scorse, and welcome to another episode of Dispatch from the Zombie Apocalypse. I hope everybody is doing great. So in the last couple of weeks, we've had a lot of activity in the federal courts and also the New York civil courts relating to the trials of Traitor Trump. Much of it has been bad from the standpoint of justice and accountability, but not all, and I'll get to that in a moment. But most of it has been disappointing, to say the least. And this has led a certain segment of the commentariat class to lecture liberals that the courts aren't going to save us from Trump, and we'll just have to do it again at the ballot box. I want to dissect this argument for what it is: a straw man, a cop-out, and pseudo-intellectual garbage. And also to dig deeper and show what it says about the people actually saying it. I then want to get into the actual facts of the cases and where we stand, because it's not all bad, and we need to, you know, just deal with reality. So let's start with the basic argument that is appearing in op-eds and on talk shows that us liberals and Democrats shouldn't have once again pinned all our hopes on the legal system to rid us of Traitor Trump. They say, didn't you learn your lesson with the Mueller report, waiting patiently for some magic bullet that was always unrealistic and never going to come? There's, of course, an aura of condescension and tut-tutting in all of these pieces and commentary, lambasting us liberals and Democrats for once again getting played like Charlie Brown with Lucy and the football. Putting aside that the Mueller report uncovered many serious crimes and proved collusion between the Traitor Trump campaign and the Russians, Mueller was a weak political actor who did the country a disservice by pretending that bland language and old school norms would prevail. He was not ready for the MAGA moment. But what liberals like me and most others were hoping for from the Mueller report is small in comparison to the current trials, totaling 91 felony accounts, putting aside the civil fraud stuff on top of that. So let's get right to the heart of the matter. The critique that relying on the courts to rid us of MAGA is wrongheaded is itself wrong, as it misrepresents what most Democrats and sane, serious people think. I and others have never said that the courts are the ultimate check on Traitor Trump and that convictions in court are what is going to save us. And nobody I know has ever said that. So again, straight up straw man argument. What we have said is that this is the biggest test of our legal system in the nation's history, which it is. That Traitor Trump's crimes are so egregious, so indefensible, and he is so guilty because the evidence is so overwhelming, that not holding him accountable will prove that the rule of law in America is a joke and basically doesn't exist. If someone can literally try to overthrow the U.S. presidential election and get away with it, we don't have the rule of law. If someone can openly steal top secret documents from the government, lie to the FBI, hide them, and then continue to lie to the FBI and get away with it, we don't have the rule of law. It is that simple. Either we are a nation of laws or not, and Traitor Trump's actions are a test of that fundamental proposition. That question exists entirely separate from the election. I want Traitor Trump to be convicted and serve time in federal prison because he committed the most heinous crimes a president has ever committed in our history. I want him to serve time to defer future fascists from attempting to overthrow the government. I want him to serve time to demonstrate to MAGA and the Republican Party that their lies and treasonous conduct have real consequences and they won't get away with it. I want the deterrence that accountability will bring. Again, all of these are independent of the November election. But I also want Traitor Trump convicted because there is no doubt if he is before the election, that will swing the election much more in Biden and the Democrats' favor, and we could have a huge blue wave and put MAGA in the dustbin of history. And this is not some fantasy or wishful thinking, right? But this is what all the polls say. Now, again, I am one that doesn't rely on polls in terms of like the horse race of who's up by 2% or 3%. So again, this is not me using polls that are favorable to me and ignoring ones that aren't. But in general, the polls say a large number, 10, 20%, 30% of the electorate would definitely not vote for Traitor Trump if he was convicted of a felony, but they might consider him otherwise. Even if the number was half, that would be enough to not only guarantee a Biden win, but a huge blue wave, right? And again, this is not some wishful thinking of mine, but it's based on a sincere desire to have some faith and confidence in our legal institutions, right? And also the fact that the American people have a right to know if the evidence against Traitor Trump supports a conviction before they go to the polls this November. Nothing I have said above is controversial in the slightest way, nor is it wishing for some courtroom savior to save us from MAGA. I am confident Biden and the Democrats can win whether Traitor Trump is convicted or not. But of course, as a sane person, I'd like a higher margin of victory. And I'd also like greater peace of mind in these next 8 months in the lead up to November, knowing that he's going to get crushed. It would also be nice to live in a country of laws where coup-plotting insurrectionists who brazenly steal top secret state documents are prosecuted and convicted no matter who they are. And let us be clear, any other citizen who committed the same crimes as Agent Orange would be sitting in federal prison as I speak. If you or I stole classified documents, lied about it, and the FBI searched our home and found boxes of them, we would be in federal prison right now and we would likely die there. These are incredibly serious crimes, and there are many people sitting in federal prison right now who committed much less serious infractions of these same statutes than Traitor Trump. So, all that people like me are asking for and waiting for is the basic accountability that is supposed to exist in a democratic country. We are waiting for proof that no one is above the law. That if you brazenly, and I mean brazenly, these are not ambiguous edge cases. If you brazenly commit felonies, no matter who you are, you pay a price. And that price exists in most other advanced democracies. From France to Brazil to South Korea, democracies around the world routinely convict their former leaders. French President Sarkozy, who was president, a decade ago, he just got convicted and he's going to jail, just like this week. America is exceptional, all right. And in that we are one of the only advanced democracies in the world to treat former presidents with kid gloves and let them get away with serious crimes. That is not something to be proud of, but to be ashamed of and to try to fix. I can say that with confidence that if any leader in Western Europe did what Traitor Trump did, he would be jailed for life and probably quickly. So to wrap up this section, let's return to what those who think that it was naive to think that the legal system would actually hold Trump accountable are actually saying. They are saying, if not explicitly, definitely implicitly, is that you silly liberals actually think we live in a society of rules and justice. But we don't. Rich white men can get away with anything, so just deal with it. That's who America is. How could you expect the Supreme Court to actually care about the Constitution and protecting the democratic order, as they have Republican politicians to protect and corporate interests to promote? This view is maximally cynical. It doesn't even pretend that just maybe the rule of law means something, that maybe we should all expect the courts to hold Trump accountable because that's the absolute minimum they should do. That maybe expecting the most powerful nation in the world to actually adhere to some basic principles isn't just a flight of fancy, but something to take seriously. And the irony of all ironies is that many of these same people looking down on liberals for wanting accountability are the same ones who cheerleaded the Iraq War, where we killed hundreds of thousands of people to build democracy and the rule of law in the Mideast, when we can't even bother to take it seriously at home. Let that sink in. I'm going to be lectured by people who said we need to go in and destroy countries and rebuild them to in our image, but we can't even bother to try to take seriously the rule of law at home? Fuck that. Never, never am I going to be that hypocritical ever in my life. I refuse it. The people scolding us for demanding legal accountability for traitor Trump were the same ones who thought it was just fine invading not just Iraq, but Afghanistan and imposing our legal systems on them. That level of do what I say, but not what I do is so perverse and corrosive to basic human decency that it infuriates me. It's weak and pathetic. If we had the right, which we didn't, but if you make the argument that we had the right to go into countries and destroy their governments and uproot their societies and kill hundreds of thousands of people and install a democratic government, then we fucking better take that rule of law and democracy seriously at home. That level of hypocrisy cannot stand. So again, either we have the rule of law or we don't. And all that people like me are saying is that we are not willing to accept defeat until at least we let the test play out and see where it leads, right? This type of defeatist thinking that of course the courts aren't going to hold Trump accountable is a recipe for the end of democracy in America, which is already hanging by a thread. A country that doesn't even believe we have a chance of adhering to our own standards is a country that has given up on even pretending to be a leader and a beacon of hope. Maybe that was always exaggerated in America, and it was. But I'd rather we at least try to live up to our ideals than to expect disappointment and injustice without even going through the motions and seeing if we can get the system to work. That's all people like me and most Democrats believe, that the system faces a test and we want to see it pass. We want to see the system step up to the plate and do what it's supposed to do, which is treat no one as if they're above the law. That shouldn't be too much to ask. That's all. There's nothing heroic, nothing extraordinary. Simply, can America demonstrate that no one is above the law? And this case should be the easiest of all, because Trump's crimes are so heinous and there is so much evidence that it should be easy. But alas, it is not, because we are America. And as it is turning out, maybe we are a nation of laws and maybe we aren't a democratic system. We're not there yet, but that's the direction we're heading and we need to take that seriously. So after the break, I'll come back to talk about the state of the traitor Trump trials, both the bad and the good. That's why they call me Bad Company, and I can deny. Bad Company, till the day I die. Till the day I die. Till the day I die. Okay, so let's get to the current state of play on the many trials of traitor Trump. I'm going to briefly summarize them, and I'll start with the good and then switch to the bad. To start with, over the past month plus, traitor Trump has lost hugely in the New York civil fraud trials and the defamation trials, and he is now on the hook for almost $500 million in damages. While he is appealing these rulings, he's going to lose them. And since he's almost broke, he's the worst businessman who lies about his wealth every day and has very little money, I mean, relative to what he claims, this is going to cause him serious problems. Now, as a side note, literally the day I'm recording this, news just came out that Elon Musk just flew to Florida to meet with traitor Trump, and the topic is likely a loan or a gift or some type of payment to help him with these judgments, which is just, it's like, too much comic book villainous behavior in one kind of concentrated dose. It's almost beyond belief. Like I tell my people who are in the entertainment industry, I was like, Hollywood could never make up a tenth of what just is on the daily news feed, right? I could do a whole episode on how evil this whole thing is. But here's the deal. Musk is a racist lunatic who also just happens to be facing major investigations by the Securities Exchange Commission, the SEC, that could cost him many billions of dollars. So if Trader Trump wins, he could have the SEC back off. And I would bet $10,000 that this is Musk's motivation and that it came up, at least in some context, in their talk, that Trader Trump will get him off the hook of these investigations in exchange for a huge loan or donation, quotes, to his campaign. We'll see how this plays out. As evil as Musk is, he's not stupid, and he knows Agent Orange is a grifter, so who knows if he'll fall for this grift. And the only way that this is even legal is because of the Citizens United ruling from the right-wing nut jobs on the court, you know, over a decade ago. They've created such a corrupt system of campaign finance that you can literally have a billionaire finance a presidential campaign in exchange for backing off government investigations. Now, of course, right-wingers, whether in the Federalist Society or the justices themselves, would respond that if there was any proof of a quid pro quo, this would be illegal, and that actually Citizens United didn't create this avenue for corruption. But that's all bullshit. Their burden of proof is so ridiculously high that it's meaningless. All Trader Trump has to say to Musk is, yeah, that SEC is really going tough on you. Hey, I might appoint some different members, but who knows? And just like that, magic. It's not corruption anymore, but just free speech among friends. And who's against that? So again, let's see how this plays out, but it's another dark sign of the diseased state of American democracy. Now, moving on, when I launch this episode, it will be less than 2 weeks before the criminal trial for Trader Trump paying hush money payments to Stormy Daniels in New York City. This is a sleeper case. You know, everyone's focused, and I think rightly so, on the big cases, but Trump is going to stand trial this month for felonies. And it's the weakest and in some sense least consequential case, and that it doesn't speak to the coup or stealing the documents, but it's still felonies that may lead to jail time. It's also something that can't be pardoned because it's a state crime, not a federal crime. So look, while I don't know enough about the law in New York City to know if he will be found guilty, my guess is that he likely will be, and then Trader Trump will officially be a convicted felon months before the election. That would be great news. I would love that, and all sane people should like that. That would probably hurt him, even if it's just on the margins. Everything's on the margins. It's a game of inches. Now, of course, if he gets off, he'll say everything is rigged and it was a witch hunt. So again, look, we need to wait and see, but we should have a verdict within a couple months, so relatively soon. So that case is proceeding, and that's great news. Now let's get to the bad news. The other three cases, the federal January 6 coup case, the documents case, and the Georgia election interference case, have unknown trial dates, and it's unlikely that any of them will be completed before November. That sucks, right? These all should have been completed before the election, because then Trump would be a convicted felon facing hundreds of years in prison, and he would have no way of winning. So it sucks that our legal system is delaying this, because, of course, justice delayed is justice denied. And if by some, you know, feat he wins the election, these cases basically go away and he gets off scot-free. So that's, you know, the worst case scenario. However, it's important to note, while these cases might not be completed before the election, they might commence before the election. And therefore, Trader Trump would spend the last weeks of the campaign in a courtroom being tried for serious crimes. That would be great. That's not as good as him getting convicted, but it's not nothing. We won't have a trial date for the January 6th federal case until the supremely corrupt court issues its ruling on the immunity claims, which will be no later than June 30th. Look, and without getting into all the details about the Supreme Court and how it's been so corrupt in its handling of Trump's, you know, immunity claims and just slow walking just about everything, the reality is they're always happy to fast track right-wing extremist cases. And so therefore, the fact that they are slow-walking Trader Trump's cases is clearly throwing a bone to him. If you want more details, I really recommend the Lawfare podcast. They have a weekly episode. I think it comes out every Saturday on the Trump trials and tribulations, and they break it all down. I really hope I live to see the day when Democrats either expand the Supreme Court and dilute the right-wing majority or limit their jurisdiction, which is another thing that the Constitution allows, and just says you can't, you know, rule on certain things, because the Supreme Court is the fucking worst. And the reality is they have much less power than people give them. Right? If the executive and the Congress says, Supreme Court, you can't listen, you can't rule on these type of cases, you know, then it's it. They can just, you know, yell at the wind and we can say, fuck you, and ignore them. Now, again, those are strong measures, but a court this corrupt, we should respond with strong measures. But again, that's a podcast for another day, and then we can only entertain that if we win this election and keep the Congress, right? So look, moving on to the Georgia case, we won't have a trial date for that one until the judge figures out whether he's going to first disqualify Fani Willis for all this ridiculous reasons. Again, if you haven't been following this, I also recommend listening to and reading Lawfare. They've been following it closely. By the time you know this, you're listening to this podcast, we might already have that figured out. But that case, again, might start before the election, and it might affect Trump, although, you know, unlikely to. So that one, not much to hope for in that in the short term. The most depressing of all these major cases is the stolen documents case, which is being overseen by a completely corrupt and incompetent MAGA judge, Eileen Cannon. This is the case that is the clearest cut. And if he had a real judge in charge, Jack Smith would get a quick conviction and lock traitor Trump up for life. But Cannon is slow-walking everything and basically acting almost like a member of traitor Trump's legal team. I can't even imagine what it must be like for Smith, a career prosecutor who takes on international war criminals and has enough evidence to put traitor Trump away for hundreds of years, who now has to yield to the demands of a straight-up MAGA fascist. It just must drive him crazy. This is straight banana republic stuff and shows how deeply the federal judiciary has already been corrupted by Republicans. But even here, eventually, she still has to set a trial date, and there is a small, albeit very small, chance that the trial begins before November. So look, there are still enough good judges on the federal bench, you know, including Judge Chutkan in the January 6th documents case. And even the judge in Georgia, Judge McAfee, has been really good. He's a state judge, but still he's a good judge, and he was appointed by Republicans. But many are compromised, and of course, just reiterating, the Supreme Court is thoroughly corrupt. So there you have it. That's kind of the overview. And in the next couple months, we're going to have a lot more. This is going to move fast. So look, while we should have had Agent Orange convicted of major felonies and sentenced to prison well in advance of the election, that is unlikely. But he still faces some serious penalties, and if we catch a few breaks, he may end up in court in September and October, which would be perfect right before the election. This is the current state of America: compromised, weak, and largely unjust, and just not up to the task of defending democracy. So yes, it is up to us to defeat traitor Trump and give democracy another shot in the arm. Like I say, I'm here to deal with reality, and that's the reality. It's not a great position to be in, but it's where we're at, and we still have, I think, a very strong chance to defeat traitor Trump and MAGA, and again, democracy will live to fight another day. So I'll come back with the antidote right after the break.
Was right, then we would never have to fight. So if we never use the brain, then only carcass would remain. If man had never used his hands, then he would never understand the joys of making this and that and winning money from the slot. Forget about stupidity. Discover your ability.
Okay, so the antidote for today is going to be similar to earlier ones and will remain mostly the same from here until November. The primaries are now over. Haley dropped out. Dean Phillips dropped out. So anyone harboring illusions that, you know, anyone besides Biden and traitor Trump would be the nominees, that's over. We got to be in reality. We have a rematch, and this is not a drill. The people who would populate a traitor Trump administration would be monstrous in ways many people can't fathom. I know history, and I know what these people are capable of. And again, this is not a drill. If traitor Trump wins, it will usher in basically the end of the rule of law, the minimal amount we have, and our democracy, and usher in violence and chaos on a huge scale, not just in America, but globally. So everyone should be scared, and that fear should lead us to do more to get Biden reelected. Give money, talk to friends, prepare to work on a campaign, write postcards, knock on doors, whatever it is you do, text message, phone calls, whatever, make podcasts, do your posts on your, you know, on social media, anti-social media platforms, whatever. Do it now and don't wait. We have 8 months, really less than 8 months, until Election Day, and we got to get this one done so that democracy has a chance to live to another day. So with that, everybody, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please share it, rate it with family, friends, and colleagues. Share on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And with that, everybody, I hope you're well. Stay safe. Take care.